Namaste and welcome. Thank you for coming. Would you like to turn this down just a little bit? We're echoing here. Okay. For those that are new here, usually the way the satsang runs, everything is pretty informal. So when you come in, you just write down whatever questions you have and just put them in the satsang bowl. So the way that we work this is we just go through whatever questions are in the satsang bowl, and then we take a break, and then it's meditation, and today we have potluck. So without further ado, we'll begin. From the place of oneness or unity, can there be any judgment of another person since all are one? No. No judgments. But of course, from the place of clarity, you can see where there's stuckness. So what some would term judgment, when something's being relayed and being given for your benefit, it's not out of judgment. It's given as a way to help you to move through, to let go of some layers and coverings that are still in place. But there's nothing to judge. What is there to judge? The layerings and the coverings are there out of ignorance. Just because one doesn't realize who and what they are. So it's not out of judgment. What's given is given out of compassion. But there's no judgment. When one enters into realization, there's the knowledge that everyone has within them this divine perfection. There's only one. Okay. And it's not that someone has to get better. It's just that they have to lose the layers and coverings, which makes them feel separate from that divine is, which is always present. Okay. So no. No judgments remain at that point. Whose question was this? Okay, did that answer it? Okay. Is there a difference between initiation and energy healing? Good question. When initiation is given, then there are various mantras that are placed within the body as well at that time. When one is giving energy healing, what we're doing is bringing you into balance. But even doing energy healing, yes, it is possible to awaken Kundalini. Very much possible. And this is another thing that needs to be understood by people that are going in and learning energy modalities, that are doing Reiki, doing any other type of energy work, that it can and does open Kundalini, okay? That it does make one more sensitive, it does make one go more inside, internalized, and it can awaken this process, okay? So yes, it's a fine line between initiation, taking diksha, and having energy work done. Especially when you're having energy work done by a sadguru. Because they're in total balance. Okay, that's the difference between having energy work done by somebody that's an energy worker versus someone that's a sadguru. Because the sadguru is in 0 point balance. So you're not going to have any tendency to pick up something from them. Neither are they going to pick up something from people they're working with. Okay. Because they're not working from mind, they're working from stillness. Okay. So there's a bit of difference. This is one reason that I'm starting to open this up more for energy workers. I want to help to teach them how to work with energy and how to stay in balance while they're working. There are ways to do it. But the best energy worker is the one that's in a meditation as they're working. They're in stillness, not coming out of doership. Okay. It's not for them to do anything. It's for them just to enter into that stillness. And the rest adjusts on its own. Whose question was this? Did that answer it? Did you have any other?
Well, various people have asked me what the difference is between initiation and energy work, and I said that there were more similarities than differences. So
there are.
That's what it sounds like.
There are more similarities than differences. But when you're giving initiation, it's also giving a conscious bonding with that person. Okay. And you're working specifically to begin to open them up. Although, like I said, when they're working with a sadguru having the healing, they can open anyway if they're ready.
I myself have to say that when I get energy work, it feels there's more depth of feeling there of something happening than initiation, but that's just maybe
That's because you've been being worked with for some time. When I'm giving energy work for people, each time we work, it goes deeper and deeper layers. You start releasing more and more as we go. Okay? It starts out with some on a very physical level, but then it goes deeper, and then you start losing cellular memory. It starts to release. So each time we work, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and especially if you've taken diksha, especially if you've taken initiation. Okay. Like the other day, Siddhananda was being worked on, and it was almost to the point of going into the Nirvikalpa. Very close, very on the edge. Very close. So hopefully the rest of it will fall away very soon. This is what's so important, to prepare yourself, so that when you finally reach that stillness, when things suddenly fall away, when that self implodes, that it doesn't reroot, that mind doesn't again reroot. This happens with some. With some, they have a quick glimpse. They have a moment. Okay, 1 second of stillness. And they get to see something. Or they have a moment of bliss and think that's it. But then the mind reroots and they wonder, why? Why am I still suffering now? Because it takes some preparation. Okay, this is why the tools are given. Why I give out the specific things about the balanced breath and different types of meditation tools. Why we have satsang. To to prepare you for that moment, so that when you finally do go into the nirvikalpa, beyond mind, beyond form, beyond this earthly realm, and nothing exists there except for that divine is. Once you have imploded into that, then the mind does not reroute again. So very important to continue forward with the practices and continue to come for satsang and to continue to come and have the hands-on, the energy work. This is kind of a new paradigm, a new dynamic that's coming in. So many more people are starting to awaken now, because things that were so hidden in the past are now being openly given out. So now we have to come into the 21st century to find ways to give more, to help people to move along quicker, because they can't hide away somewhere in an ashram, you know. People are here and they're having to work, they're having their lives, so this has to be a part of life. It's a living sadhana. It's not something that we sit and we do on a weekend. It's part of your daily life. It is your daily life. Okay. Action from the heart. How does one determine when one is caught in compulsive action, action that is done out of fear or desire, obligatory action that does not really come from the heart? Is there ever any real benefit that can come from action that does not come from the heart? And what does it mean to act from the heart, to be without any sense of compulsive pressure, either from the outside or the inside? And how does one become so inwardly free so that one is able to act only from the heart and to be completely without any form of resistance? When action is not being done from the heart, then there's a sense of striving in it. Okay? There's a sense of unsettledness in it. Action that's coming from the heart is in a flow. Okay? If it's striving, then it's from mind. It's not from heart. So when you recognize that you're striving, once again, step back, go into the balanced breath, and let go. Okay, relax. You'll find that you're tense. Go back into the balanced breath. Take a few seconds. Let your attention then rest in that heart and open. The attention is in the heart. There's total relaxation. And the mind stills. Then there's no longer separation. Then a natural bliss arises. Everyone moves through things too quickly. Okay. Start to slow down. Simplify. Allow the clutter to fall away. Don't try to collect so much at once. We want to carry so much, you know. We wind up with these big burdens, and the mind is going and going and going, and we're trying to think 5 steps ahead. Do one thing at a time. If you do one thing at a time, with complete attention to that one thing, from the heart, you'll find that you step into the now. Okay, that you become more centered. It becomes very Zen-like. It becomes a moving meditation. Okay. There's a way to enter into a point where every action is only a moving meditation. It becomes that once we're out of the mind. And we're in the heart with flow and allowing grace to be. Did that answer the question? Thank you. What are the main differences between all the various gurus? What is the difference between a guru and a satguru? And what other living satgurus do you recognize as being fully enlightened? How would you compare the way you teach to other satgurus? And how do you see your outward expression similar or different to the other satgurus? And why do you think that all these similarities and differences exist? Is one better than another? The primary difference is a guru can be any type of a teacher. A satguru is one that has gone beyond all the identifications and rests within the reality of the Absolute, within that still point. Okay. Anyone can be a guru, but not everyone is a satguru. Most of the sages and the satgurus, you'll find that their words will mirror one another. Why is that? Because they live in the same reality. But people that are still within the world and still within individualizations and personalities and personas. Okay. They live in their own world. Still trying to work through the conditionings, okay, and the mental ideas they have. Whereas the satgurus have gone beyond that. They're no longer locked into this conditioned self. Okay. But still within that, you'll find differences among them. Different flavors. Okay. Yes, they live within the same reality. But the background they've come out of is different. Therefore, they'll carry a different flavor. Okay. Well, While it's true we live beyond the mind, still, when things are filtering through, it filters through a body. Okay. So this is why you see different flavors. It doesn't mean that one is better than another. But just as there are many, many different types of people in the world, there needs to be different types and flavors, because not everyone is going to resonate with the same flavor. Okay? Some like sweet, some like salty. Okay? There are many different types of paths. Okay? They all lead to the same end. There's only one absolute, one divine reality in the end. But for the understanding of the people, there needs to be different flavors. Okay. Keeps it interesting. Did that answer? There's something else you still wanted to ask. Go ahead. It went out now. How do I explain this path to family members when they ask what I'm doing? I try to explain, but I can't answer their questions, and it's frustrating. Questions like, who or what created the world if we are all God or that essence that is God? How do you explain who Jesus was to a Catholic who is not on this path? I don't think you have to explain who Jesus was to a Catholic who's not on this path. Let them have their own idea. Okay? We're not out to change their ideas about it unless they ask. Okay? Each comes to this when they're ready. But it's not something to be pushed. It's difficult to explain this path. It's a path of self-discovery. A path of entering inner stillness to find out what you are. More importantly, what you're not. You can tell people you're on a path of self-discovery. And the $64,000 question, how does the world come into being if we're all God? There is no answer to that. It simply is. Okay? People want to say the world is illusion. Okay? It is and it's not. Okay. Yes, when one goes into a nirvikalpa, okay, and there's only that divine essence, and there is no you, there's no world, there's nothing, there's only that. when first coming back into consciousness of this world, then it feels like this world is unreal. That's why you have some sages to say, this world is unreal. But then things begin to settle. And then you begin to see the world as empty in nature. Yes, it's here, but it's empty in nature. Doesn't mean it's without value. It just has no solid type of a substance. But it's beautiful as it is. Okay? It's the fragrance. The fragrance of God is this world, is this life. You begin to appreciate it. I've spoken on this before, that this then becomes Leela, the play of God, versus Maya, the illusory and suffering world. This is why when Sankaracharya, one of the greatest proponents of Advaita that ever lived, first said the world was illusion, but towards the end of his life, which was very short in this world, wrote all the odes at that point to Shakti, to the beautiful divine feminine, or the beautiful divine of this world, the other flip side of the absolute. And the only difference is pure absolute is without motion. Shakti is the motion at it, that's all. When motion is at it, it acts like almost like a prism. Prism is one, but what happens when the light comes through? Appears to subdivide the light into many colors, many shades. Okay, still one. Still one. It's forever non-dual. Whether one is in form or not, at that point it doesn't matter. That's liberation. We think liberation at the beginning is getting out of the world. What is there to get out of at that point? Whether in form or not in form, it's still one. There are so many misunderstandings in this path. Misunderstandings of what Vairagya is. People confuse Vairagya with pushing away. They confuse being non-attached with being cold or distant. It has nothing to do with that. What's here in the world is transient. Okay? You see it, then you don't. That's all. But it really doesn't go anywhere. Things in the world are always appearing to change form. It's born, it ages, it appears to die, but it hasn't gone anywhere. It's still that same divine awareness. Death is the last great illusion. Okay. The absolute is divine potential. It's the seed state. That's why we have the Shiva Linga in an oval shape, like a seed. Seed state. And the absolute, that seed state of absolute, is only known through what form? That's why it sits in the yoni, Shakti. That womb that brings things into form, or Shakti. That energy which starts to move and bring things into form. You value this world when you come back. Because absolute even though it's perfection as it is, it's always perfection, and nothing in this world can ever touch that perfection. Still, it's seed state. Okay? The flowering is this world. Okay? There's no reason to throw away either of them. Neither to chase the world anymore, or to want to only be in that seed state. Because that seed is also inherent in the flower. Okay? There's no separation, no difference between them. And so concludes the questions in the satsang bowl for the day. Does anyone have any other questions? Comments?
I had a question about fear, and I was thinking the other day, you know, we're all adults and we understand the system and we play by the rules. So you would think there would come a time naturally when people would just drop fear anyway. And I've seen some older people that do that. They can just let it go because they've played by the rules and they're not sitting in jail somewhere and that kind of thing.
So what's the question?
Why can't I do that?
Because mind is still going. Mind is still going. Some conditionings are still there. From past, you know, being judged for this or judged for that. Okay? So there's still this concept that I have to fit in the mold and I have to do this or I have to do that. Okay? But once you begin to relax into these and continue with the meditation, continue to allow the mind to still, then these things will fall away. There'll be no concern because the world is going to judge no matter what happens. Whether you're a sadguru, whether you're a guru, it doesn't matter what part you're at, where you're at, there's going to be judgment. And not everyone is going to be happy. Even as a sadguru, you cannot make everyone happy because people come with different expectations. And they've heard it needs to be this way or it needs to be that way. Or I need to experience this or I need to experience that. And when they don't get what they think they need to have, then what happens? So no matter where you're at, all you can do is to live up to your highest and let go of the rest. Okay? Give what you can give, where you can give. And it'll either be accepted or not, but that's up to the other. Whether they're accepting or not accepting. That's their path. Okay. All of these fears come out of this feeling of separation. Okay. When one steps in to that divine moment beyond thought, beyond time, then you find out there was nothing to fear because there's only one. The rest of this all falls away at that point. Okay, there are no more questions at that point. It's really quite humorous. It becomes so simple then. And you come out and it's like, you know, kind of like that, I could have had a V8 commercial. Okay. Because it's not something we gain, it's already here. This is the problem with this, some of the New Age concept. You have to become better and better and better, or some of the Buddhist philosophy of you need to come better and better and better. You're not going to earn your way to become God. God is all that's left when that personal sense has gone. It's like lighting a candle. As long as there's candle and personal self in place, guess what? There's separation. When it's burned and it's gone, then what? Or like that drop that's been taken out of the oceans in a container, you open it up and you put it back in the ocean, and then what? Where'd the drop go? It's always been part of that water, part of that divine ocean of consciousness, okay? It's just when it was in that jar for that time, it thought it was something separate, but it's never really been separate. It's the same property. Okay? Whether it's one drop or the whole ocean, it's the same property, same thing as what they're finding out now in quantum. Okay? In realization, quantum becomes child's play. It's, you know. Okay. It's understood. Not intellectually, it's just known. It's very interesting. This is why so many times, you know, when one enters realization, the former name drops away, because you have no relationship with that identity, with that person that was carrying so much luggage and so much garbage and so much drama. It's at an end. You can't even relate any longer. Before realization, I was such a sad individual. Severe depression. Oh my God. The pity party throne of why me? Okay. And the moment of realization, it falls away. It doesn't come back again. As long as the mind doesn't reroute again, it doesn't come back. And then one enters into the flow. Okay. Doesn't mean that your life suddenly becomes undramatic, or you don't have bills to come in late, or you don't have flat tires, or you don't have all these problems that everyone else in the world has. Yeah. But they're no longer all consuming. They're transient. Okay. This too will pass. Doesn't matter. Okay. But that divine essence is not touched by any of those happenings. It simply is. And it will remain as it is. Infinite potential. And we are that. What I am, you are. It was interesting, I was watching last night the Ten Commandments. And Moses goes up on the hillside and he says, take off your shoes. Where you stand is holy ground. Okay. Who should I say has sent me? Who should I say you are? I am that. I am. That is who is sent. I am that. I am simply is. Okay. I am that. Whatever you see, it is. It's just that. Divine is. Divine presence, divine essence, didn't say I'm the big man sitting on the throne in the sky. I am that. Okay. Spirit. Whole. Complete. He came off the mountain and said, what was there is within all man equally. Went up the mountain, came down a realized being. Okay. And he gave what he could give in the best way he could give. And what happened? It wasn't out of his doership. And grace moved. And that's how miracles happen. Okay. Because there's no doubt. There can be no doubt. It's what my guru asked. He said, are you convinced of this? I said, no, I'm not convinced. To be convinced of something, there must be doubt. And with this, there can be no doubt. It simply is. With more reality than anything we see in this physical world, it is. All-consuming. And this is what every being is within this world. Simply that one divine essence. The trick is to get rid of the layers. And that's why you're here. This is what the path is. The way to get rid of the layers. And discover that divine essence is always present. And there is nothing other than that. So namaste, and thank you for coming. We'll take a short break, have some tea, and have meditation. And then after that, potluck.